I apologize that I am perhaps not going to make a seamless transition from last week's studies because I was not here. Well, I was here. I was just not in this room. I was actually directly above you on the roof with my youngest son, Micah, while Dr. Jenny was in there attempting to teach you. And I guess some allusion was made to the noise. Had I realized that we were making so much racket, I must confess to you that I would have made more racket. I guess that's kind of how God made me or something. But anyway, then next week we're going to continue on and talk about today's teaching is the purpose of the breaking of bread service. Purpose of the breaking of bread. And then next week we're going to talk about what goes on at a breaking of bread. And then the fourth, perhaps most controversial week will be how do you get ready for a breaking of bread service. Now I understand that that flies in the face of perhaps what some of us were taught last week. I understand from the handout that my bride gave me that Dr. Jimmy alluded to or read some thoughts from Garrison Keillor, who grew up in a place not unlike my own, although they had the little flock and we used to believe the timber. So it was some different things. The purpose of the breaking of bread service. My secretary made way too many. I can't always, I'm the father of five children. Five on earth anyway, one in glory, and I can't help but think when you see something like this, the first thing my boys would have done is made a paper airplane out of it. So, yeah, give them a few minutes. Purpose of the breaking of bread. The service that we just left. Why do we celebrate it? Why do we have it? What is the purpose of it? Okay, in your Bibles, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through verse 46, you will see that in Jerusalem, they continued in four things steadfastly. What are they? Breaking of bread, prayer, fellowship, and the apostles' doctrine. They continued in them steadfastly. Now, in Jerusalem, you'll notice in verse 46, it said that they did these things daily. Now, also remember in Jerusalem, it was that they did a communal thing. Remember, in Jewish tradition, once you accepted another religion, you would have been ostracized from the family, and those people would have had nowhere to live and nowhere to go, so they lived with things in common. All right. It's very difficult for us to look at those verses and apply them to our lives. We're Gentiles. But in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, okay, it says that they set aside time the first day of the week. And that is the tradition that we hold. Now, it is essential when you study something like the breaking of bread that you understand the Bible is going to give us certain facts, certain things that we can take with us, that we can apply. But we also have this, and we have rituals, and we have things, the way that we do stuff. Some of that is biblical based, and some of it is just our history. There's nothing wrong with history. There's nothing wrong with tradition. There's nothing wrong with ritual. My family lives in 1902 Howard Street. We have lots of little rituals and traditions. Some of them the kids like, some of them the kids don't like. Some of them they will change. Some of them my children will do the same as Martha has taught them. But they like the tradition. We need to understand as we talk about the breaking of bread that we do have our little set of traditions. Okay, now, what is the purpose of this service that we're discussing? The breaking of the bread. You can tell me what the purpose is. It is a service of, it is a time of, it is a time for, remember. Luke chapter 22, verse 19 said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Is it only remembrance? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, I think is one of the verses that I have given you. "Do this in remembrance of me." The apostle there says, as Jesus, as God gave it to him, so he gives it back to us. You allow me here to go back to my outline. I do understand that there are people, the brothers and sisters who love the Lord, and we can even disagree about what this service should be called. There are those who would call it communion, those who would call it the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, or the breaking of the bread. There certainly are scriptural reasons and biblical reasons for any of the title. Here at Bethany Chapel, you're not inerrant, but we call it the breaking of the bread. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. One of the purposes which I have given to you, these are not exhaustive, nor is this inerrant. One of the purposes that we have before us for this celebration, called the Lord, breaking the bread, called the Lord's table, is in remembrance. Is that the only purpose? The table that we take out that sits right here, that's what it says on, in remembrance of me. The table that I grew up with said the same thing. In remembrance. It is a service, a celebration, a remembrance. But is that the only issue there? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Please interrupt me if you have a question, a comment, or disagreement. I'm very comfortable being interrupted. Again, I am the father of five children. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, two verses later, says, "You do show the Lord's death till he comes." So the very celebration of this service points to the cross. It is not only a remembrance of God, but it is a remembrance of Christ. I'm sorry. It is a remembrance of His action for us. It is a testimony. It is a constant neon sign in our lives pointing to His death, His substitutionary death for you and I. The constant. This ring is a reminder of Martha's love for me. The scars that I bear on my body are constant reminders of the mistakes that I have made in my past. Reminders, they're around us. We're surrounded by memories. This table, this celebration that we go about is a constant testimony of God's death on the cross for us. But is that it? Is that all that is there? Is there not also worship? Let me quote you something. A man named James Anderson. "No gathering is more entitled to the name of worship meeting than our celebration of the Lord's Supper. Any gathering which is concerned, as the Lord's Supper is, with the emblems of the Lord's body and blood must be preoccupied with remembrance. And it is this very remembrance which is the fuel for worship." Worship is the highest spiritual exercise in which a Christian can engage. More than prayer, which is basically concerned with our request, is more than thanksgiving, for that is for blessings received. It is preoccupation with the Lord Jesus for His own sake, because of His own work. It is being lost in holy wonder. I like that. Being lost Holy One. My grandma, my maternal grandmother, was about 2 inches shorter than Sally. And when I knew her as a boy, she was crippled up from life on the farm and cancer. My grandma worshiped the Lord in a green chair in her front room. Never went to church, as I remember. But she loved Jesus, and she would early in the morning be up before anyone else was up, and she would sing, she would talk to God. Worship, being lost in holy things. But is that it? Yes, ma'am? Yes, ma'am? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's for those verses later on in chapter 11. Hopefully you can get to that today. Now, 14:26. It says, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a word of speech, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. Building up, strengthening. And again, I am going to now quote somebody who we all know and love, because I think that at times my dyslexia gets in my way and I am unable to communicate my thoughts. And Stephen has done it far better than I. Jesus is the subject of the symbols of the meal, the meaning of the bread and the cup that we take, that we eat, that we drink. It is Jesus' instruction that those who are his disciples reenact this, to take the bread and the cup, and to offer thanks to God, and to divide it amongst those gathered as a display in joining in with Jesus in his body and his blood given to remove our sins. And Jesus is, so to speak, the host of the gathering that recreates this Last Supper. This is why there is no single person who leads, teaches, or sings during the breaking of bread. Instead, we all participate in one way or another. We talk. That comes from a paper that Stephen wrote for the elders at the elders' request. That he stated some things, and it's a phenomenal paragraph. Joining in with Jesus in his body and blood. I have an article if you would like to read. Last year, Dr. Jimmy talked to us and the elders taught on prayer. And one of Dr. Jimmy's points was for us, when one of us stands and prays, do we all? If I stand up and dominate the conversation, am I the only one talking? Am I the only one praying? Or do we all pray? When one of us stands up and worships, do we all worship? When one of us remembers, do we all remember? 1 Corinthians 14:26 talks about this idea of building up, this idea of community, of this idea of fellowship. Talk about remembering for just a minute. Keeping in mind I'm going to try and leave 15 minutes to have it all. I've thought you guys can respond. What does it mean to remember? Look it up. It talks about honoring. Let me give you an idea of remembrance. From the world. I have a good friend. His name is Bill Krieg. He works for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I saw him last night and he told me a story. He's very applicable to the thought of remembering. The storm just swept through the eastern seaboard and took Washington, D.C. Heavy storms. So they shut the city down. In that city is a cemetery, and in that cemetery is a grave. The grave is watched, guarded, if you will, by a military unit. The military unit was told that they no longer had to guard the tomb of the unknown soldier because of the storms that were coming. The park was going to be closed, sealed off, and no one would be allowed in it. The soldiers were not needed to guard the tomb. The sergeant in charge quickly polled his men and they decided that they would remain on post. They would continue to guard the tomb. That they would continue to honor, to remember, irregardless. Of spectators, regardless of witness. Why? To honor to remember. Those men understand, men and women understand something of the remembrance. Moses was told at the burning bush to remove his sandals. The place where he stood was holy ground. The table, the closest thing we're going to get inside of God, the holy ground, because it is a reflection. It is a reflection not that we picked, but one that Jesus picked. He picked that service, that celebration for us to remember. Now, certainly in heaven, the little Polaroid snapshot that we have will be long forgotten, and we will celebrate this feast as it should be celebrated. The completed work of Christ. First Corinthians chapter 14 talks about building up, talks about community, it talks about fellowship, it talks about coming to the breaking of bread to give. This is where you bring your offering. Dick constantly has reminded me in the years that he has discipled me that my finances reflect my love for the Lord. That's why at Bethany we say, let us continue our work. It is not secondary. It's the only time at Bethany Chapel that you will ever see an offering taken to the breaking of bread. That's part of our worship. We're not begging you for money. The elders will not beg for money. Money's God's in you. the deacons distribute the money at Bethany Chapel as the Lord sees fit to give it to us, to be stewards of it only. But the worship continues with the offer. You bring your offerings, you bring your thoughts, you bring yourself. And again, I can't stress the fact that 8 or 9 of us, at the most, 12 if we run long, participate fervently. But we all participate. God has placed us here today as a lampstand, as a local body reflecting the world. What we do together. What we do, we all do. And it's even better than that. So we send people like Jesse King, Tom and Ann, Adrian, who really should be listed as some sort of other worker in the address. We reach out all over the place. We're all together in the Spirit, even though Jack and Karen can only be with us every few years. Tom and Ann can only be with us every few years. We're gathered together. It's all this community. Dr. Jimmy drove that home many times when we pray corporately, although one person at a time needs. Remember, that was part of the issue in Corinth, these passages that we talked about throughout of. Corinth was doing some things goofed up. They were messing up. The apostle had to correct them. I was at a conference. Well, iron sharpens iron. And the man who was there said a very profound thing. Verses in 1 Corinthians are what are essential. Verse 23, and I think we'll open up for comments. What is essential for a breaking of bread? I would submit to you that clergy are not essential. Because wherever 2 or 3 you gather, you need 2. And then you automatically get the 3. The 2 is essential. You need 2, and you need Jesus. So by definition, then, they need to be believed. Gather together in mind. And then the apostle says, this is what God gave him. I'm reading In the NIV, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. Meat bread, rye bread, white bread, wheat bread, pita bread, corn muffin, fish. Took bread. Gave thanks. He broke it. Broke it open. He said, this is my body, which is for you. This is for us. This celebration wasn't for him. It was for us. He gave it to us. What an honor. What an honor. Do this in remembrance. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant, the new promise, the new rule, the new way of interaction. I'm not going to just work with the Jews anymore. I'm going to reach out to the Irish. New covenant. In my blood, the covenant is not because of the birthright. It's not because of who I am or who I was. It's because he called me and he paid the price. do this. When you drink it, you remember me. When you take that little plastic cup that we buy someplace up in Addison, and you drink the juice that we buy at Sam's Club, do this and remember. Not thinking about the Bears or the Cubs. Not thinking about the new car, the old car, the month work, school work. Not thinking about football, baseball, hockey. Not thinking about the roast. Just remember you. When you came in this morning, what was your purpose? What was your thought? Too hot. Poor Phil Kennedy talked up the steps of Utah. I'm distracted. That's wrong. Something off. Something doesn't move in. Poor Chris Boyle. It's too hot, too wet, too cold. When you come in, what are you thinking about? I hope my shoe is in. Just sit in the right place. No, we won't. Just sit in the right shoe. Those are the few things. What are you thinking about when you come in? Are you ready to give? Or are you going to take? You have something to offer in your heart? For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, whenever, it's fond of reminding us that they do this in the jungle, in the mud hut. They do it in Far Eastern Europe. To make in the mouth and stand and do use. You do it in way more primitive places than most of them. And they proclaim the Lord's death. Because he's dead and he's never come back. They proclaim the Lord's death until he comes back. Again, that's the best part of the whole thing. The verse that Bradford read out of Hebrews had the same thought today. He comes to those who are waiting for him or something like that, right? Yet Hebrews chapter 3 to 1. He comes back. Proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. This hope that we have. This celebration is not like the tomb of the unknown soldier. Whoever that soldier was died for our country, and we owe them a debt. But he's dead. And Lord, do we remember? He's not only dead, he rose. And not only did he rise, he went to heaven. Not only goes to heaven, he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. And not only did he do that, he intercedes on a daily basis. And like that isn't enough. And he is home. And that is not something to work. That's not something to give an hour a week. Finally gave my wife an hour a week. Woo! First off, she knows where I keep the gun. Second off, she's Irish. Martha can have an hour a week. I'm going to renegotiate, boy. Lord, now and we. What the apostle gives us here in these verses, I submit to you as all that's necessary for breaking bread. The rest of it, tradition. I grew up one cup. I went to a plastic. And then when we went to a real plastic, they were plastic, they were glass. to worship.
Mm-hmm.
Little wafers or one big loaf.
That's tradition. Doesn't make any difference. What's the word say? Bread. Doesn't it mean cracker? Cracker bread? Pita? Probably more realistic. He says, come. Go to the vine. Now, there's those who would say Diet Coke could go in the cup. Certainly, we have a little deacon downstairs who wouldn't mind doing that. My bride wouldn't mind that. I struggle with that a little bit. Just come. The rest of it, after those verses, the rest of it's crazy. The rest of it's what we want to do with it. I like it. I feel it reflects. Those are my thoughts. So now, let's open it up, have some questions, some comments. Certainly, the young lady in the black brought up the back brought up about the idea of judgment. Remember those verses say, judge yourself and then eat. This is community. You are not to ever feel alienated. You come in, you present your stuff. You got problems, bring them here and leave them right here. Right here, leave them. They're done, they're forgiven. Leave them. You got to bring them in every week for a couple years. Bring them in and leave them.
About tradition, because I believe it. I pretty well agree with you. And especially as it relates to our breaking of bread meeting, there is a big emphasis today on tradition growing up among evangelicals. And it needs to be qualified. It's got to be biblical.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of drift among evangelicals today back toward the sacramental churches, churches that would be turning away from. Product of charity, of salvation, through the faith, not through the sacrament. And going into a sacramental form of tradition that denies the faith things that are brought out in the Reformation, and it is a very faster that the charity of the tradition comes from modern tradition and from salvation and the church. In our modern secular division of diversity in everything, growing respect for other people's cultures and other people's traditions, which is valuable, but there is a temptation on the part of many, some among us, I think, to affirm and commend other people's traditions and belittle our own.
Mm-hmm.
As if every other tradition is good, but our own is sort of go away. And there's there is an area that you touched on at the beginning about participation, whether a man should come prepared or should come unprepared. Some people have had an intervention when you should come prepared. No. Thank you.
And nothing wrong with tradition. We have a tradition here that we take an offering at the Lord's Supper. That's not in those verses. We take offering at the Lord's Supper. It's a bag, not a plate. Okay? Now let me tell you the traditions I grew up. I was taught to take a check, put it in the hand. That's it. You put the money in the bag, or the check in the bag, and nobody can see it. Now don't sit back there next week and see if you can see me put the money in the bag. See, that's not, but see, that's a tradition. It's not really in Scripture. It talks about bringing your offering. Because there needs to be an opportunity for it. Someone else. Yes. Okay, first off, to answer your question, come back next week because that's Paul Mouth's topic, what happens. But remember, little ping pong here. Remember, nothing can take away from substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. John, time and time again, says, your point, once you say it, you're placed in my hands. My hands are in God's hands. It's impossible. He plucked out of my hand, and ume, there's nothing that can be conceived that can take you out of Jesus, or God. So this is not a salvation issue. Participation here is not. So you've got to look at that passage like it is salvation when you participate in the Lord's death upon confession. Sorry. Oh, absolutely, the Spirit meets us here. You know, and there is that verse later on that talks about participating unworthily. You know, that's tricky. But again, the verse that I see there talks about you should judge yourself. You should come to the table as a way of accountability, like the sister brought it up in the back section. A way of accountability. A litmus test, a spiritual checkup. Have I done something to offend someone? Have I worshipped the Lord? Have I read my Bible? Have I walked with God? Have I sinned? Have I robbed a bank? Whatever things you've done, deal with that here before God. And then, being cleansed, discussion? We have brothers and sisters that we all know and love that believe that something happens upon Thanksgiving for the emblem, that actually becomes the body and blood. I do not subscribe to that. I don't believe that's in Scripture. Brothers and sisters who know the Lord and love the Lord disagree with me, and that's okay. Lots of people disagree with me. It's all right. I don't believe it. But certainly the Spirit meets you here. It says, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. Something special happens in fellowship. Something special happens when a body comes together for the purpose of a lampful, for the purpose of worship, of praise, of those things talked about in that chapter 2. And when you gather together and you meet the Lord, absolutely something happens. Certainly we're blessed. Whether or not you can say that there's something to check off, I don't know. If Paul or Brad would be coming. Canceled soon. Thank you. See, I first met Brad Stringer when I was 12 or 13 years old. He was a senior in high school, and he could whack the softball like nobody could. He thought he had it all figured out then, and I knew I had it all figured out. But isn't, don't you take comfort in that? What Brad is talking about, the in exit. Before he took the children of Israel out of Egypt, he instituted a celebration that you and I would participate in as a reflection of God's glory. What's that, 4,000 years ago, Jim? 4,000 years ago, he instituted a celebration that Jesus would participate in the true meaning of in Jerusalem, in the upper room. That you and I will sit with at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Not only did he organize, and he knows your name, and he's invited you to participate in on a weekly basis with us, and then all together, Sunday. Yes, it is the week. You have a comment? And this is the Father, for those of you who don't know, the Father of the man who I quoted earlier. We are out of time. It's both dear Lord Master, we come before you. May you bless these simple words, Father, and you continue to hear our praise and our worship this morning as we seek to honor you. Coffee and donuts. Bethany Kool-Aid.